I believe we have former Congressman Mark Green on the line this morning. Congressman, is this you?
It is indeed.
Thank
Bob,
you, sir.
How are you?
Doing well. We haven't talked for a while. Where you been? Where have you been?
I've been all over the place. You know, I lead something called the International Republican Institute, which is an organization that fosters democracy and liberty around the world. So I've been traveling a great deal, but enjoying it very much. But most importantly, I'm delighted to be back home in the 8th District.
Sounds good to me. And are you going to throw your hat in the ring by chance?
I am not.
Okay.
I am not. I think we're going to have good candidates. The world is in disarray in many places and on all levels. And I'm looking forward to making contributions to try to address some of these challenges, but I like what I'm doing at IRI.
All right. Well, I had to ask you because it's out there. We do have a couple of candidates on the Republican side and maybe one or two on the Democratic side as well to replace Reid Ribble. Were you surprised at all that Reid decided after this stint to call it quits?
You know, I was a little bit. I happened to see Reid last week. We got together, and we get together periodically. It's a loss. I think Reid's is a great congressman, doing great work. But, you know, I understand some of his reasons and certainly some of the frustrations that many good people feel in the arena right now in Washington. It's although I'm delighted with Paul Ryan's leadership, it's a challenging time for conservatives, and I know he had some frustrations.
I want to talk a little about what you're doing now. You're going to be here in the Oshkosh-Ripon area, appearing at both the university here and Ripon College and talking about the role of democracy around the world. I love this, promoting democracy in an age of extremism and rising authoritarianism. When we look around the world, we have a lot of hot spots. We have a lot of oppression going on, and I know you're hoping to change that. Is there a reason to be optimistic, first of all?
Well, yes, there is. And part of what I want to do when I talk with students at both Ripon and Oshkosh is to talk about some of the tools that are working. My organization was actually launched by Ronald Reagan's speech over 30 years ago, in which he talked about taking values and principles that we hold dear, democracy, human liberty, and trying to project them, making them the heart of our foreign policy. And I do think that that's the way forward, and I think that's a great way for us to help people in the world who are crying out for freedom and democracy. And so it's an important part of foreign policy. It's what I do. But I think we need to sort of dust it off and put it front and center once again.
I think a lot of people don't realize just what goes on around the world. They think everybody is like the USA. It's not the case at all. There is oppressive regimes throughout the world. People would not even fathom that it doesn't go on. There's not the freedom there in a lot of countries around the world.
You're absolutely right. The largest program that IRI has is in Ukraine. And I've been to Ukraine a couple of times. Ukraine is under attack by Vladimir Putin economically, militarily. And you have people in Ukraine who are just crying out for a chance to have the freedoms and the opportunities that you and I take for granted. And it's true in too many parts of the world. Now, democracy, there are many successes in democracy in recent years that you don't hear much about. Tunisia is one. Although Tunisia is fighting extremism on its borders and in some cases even in its communities, it is a democracy. Burma is a democracy and moving in the right direction. So there are positive signs, but certainly it's very easy for us to take for granted the democracy that we have and also to fail to realize that in many parts of the world, democracy is a rarity at best.
I have traveled to China, into Central America as well, and you get into situations there. You're talking with somebody who's a local, who's never left the city. They have to petition the government to even leave the city limits. People in America have no idea what I'm talking about when I say something like that, that someone would actually have to live in a town and couldn't even drive down the road. You couldn't go to Milwaukee to see a ball game if it was a similar situation maybe in China or some of these other countries.
You are dead right, and it's certainly true in parts of Asia and in Central America. I happen to be going to Central America in a couple of weeks, but in so many cases, people simply don't have the liberty that you and I take for granted, the liberty that this country was based upon and holds dear. And you know, occasionally you hear people say, well, they can't handle democracy in some of these countries. And that's just not true. And that was Reagan's message 30 years ago, and it's true today. People naturally want a voice in their own future. Now, their system may not look like the U.S., nor does it need to look like the U.S., but we do hold as a fundamental right that people should have a voice in their own future. And that really is something that the U.S. should stand for firmly. I think we should assert that in our discussions with other countries. And we really do need to foster the community of democracies. It's good for the world and human rights, but it's good for us. Reliable partners, stable partners, and it's a great antidote to extremism.
Former Congressman Mark Green along with us. He's coming to Oshkosh along with Rippon to talk a little more about promoting democracy around the world. And this visit is scheduled for later today in Rippon, 4:30 in the afternoon, and then tomorrow at Sage Hall on the campus of UW Oshkosh. Got to get your feeling right now about what's going on the campaign trail. A couple of things come to mind. Much like 1994, when Peter Jennings had the famous quote about the voters having a temper tantrum. Well, we're seeing that again. People are disillusioned by what's going on in Washington. They're frustrated, and that has given rise to not only Donald Trump on one side, Bernie Sanders on the other.
No, you're right. And that's really, I think, the way that people should be looking at this. What is it that is so at fault in Washington, D.C. right now and in many of our governing institutions that people are so frustrated that they turn to the voices, to anti-establishment voices that really are talking about shaking up the system in a major way? You know, our system has always been chaotic. I believe it will all turn out okay in the end. I'm an optimist in the primary process and such. But this is a time when people are absolutely fed up. You talk to people in places like New Hampshire. I talked to a buddy of mine who was out in the campaign trail. And he met someone who said his first choice was Trump and his second choice was Sanders. He said to say, well, wow. You know, how do you do that? How does that work? And it's just that they're tired with what's going on and they think this is the only way they can change it.
Well, we will wait and we will see as to what happens there on the campaign trail and whether or not Donald Trump gets the support he needs to get the nomination. Certainly is ahead of what we saw from John McCain back in 2008 or even Mitt Romney at this point back in 2012. He's got many more delegates than either one had at this time. It's not something that's going away soon. I think people have had it, and the glossing over by the current administration of all crises is I think the reason for this. That we're doing a great job. Yeah. This is a great thing. The economy's booming. Obamacare is great. And they turn a deaf ear to any criticism at all. And you got enough people sipping the Kool-Aid in the media to go along with that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. No one is listening in their minds. And what they're saying, what voters are saying in these primaries is, look, if you're not going to listen to us, we're going to find somebody who will. And that's what they see. Again, they're so fed up. They're so angry and they're so distrustful. And that's how we got here.
Congressman, I got to run on that. I appreciate the time as always. Again, tonight and then tomorrow. Do we need a student ID to get in, or is it free to anybody?
You know, I'm not sure. I'm hoping it's free to
anybody. I hope it is.
Everybody.
I'm paying my taxes, at least over to the UO. I pay taxes for those folks.
Sounds good to me. Bob,
and Rippon, I've given a few dollars to the Rippon College folks as well over the years.
Good stuff.
All right. Thank you again.